we're finding in our Bible, Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And I want to take a good look at verse 1 down through verse 7 of Luke chapter 15. I'm taking the title for the message from what is found in verse 6. Notice verse 6. When he cometh home, he calleth his friends together and his neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Now notice the sheep did not find himself. The good shepherd found the one lost sheep. The title of the message, therefore, will be Lost Sheep Found. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in John chapter 10, is called the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. And then another place in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, the Lord is called the Great Shepherd of the sheep, who through his eternal covenant made complete atonement for their sin. The Lord is also called the Chief Shepherd of the sheep, who is coming back again. Our good shepherd, our great shepherd, our chief shepherd came to save his lost sheep. His sheep, his elect, his church. And he did so by laying down his life for them, by sacrificing his life to redeem those sheep, by dying for them to bring them home to glory. As we read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, For Christ also once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he may bring us unto God. That's how he does it, through that one sacrifice, the just one, dying for the unjust. Now, in this chapter, Luke chapter 15, the Lord gives us in this chapter one parable divided into three parts. One parable with three parts. Each part of this parable describes the whole work of the triune Godhead in the salvation of his elect, the salvation of his church. Someone called it the joint work of God, the joint work of love. We see in this story, in each of these three parts, we see the work of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd, finding his sheep, saving his lost sheep, representing the lost sheep, represents the whole elect of God, bringing the lost sheep home to glory, and then rejoicing forever over that blessed, blessed work. The second part of this story, found in verse 8 down through verse 10, we have a woman who is seeking a lost coin. She has 10 of them. She's lost one of them. And she sweeps the house. She gets the candle out. And she diligently searches till she finds that one lost coin. We see in this part of the parable the work of God the Holy Spirit seeking out and finding his lost coin and rejoicing together with the saints and the angels of God over one sinner who was granted repentance. Look down at verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that is given repentance. What causes heaven to rejoice? What causes the angels to rejoice? Salvation that is of the Lord. And then the third part of this parable, in verse 11, all the way down to the end of the chapter, and we'll be over there in a few weeks, we see the work of God the Father in receiving the lost son. So we have the lost sheep being found, the lost coin being found, and the lost son that is received back by the Father, who graciously receives his lost son back into his family and graciously loves him. Notice verse 24. Luke 15, 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Here we see the work of God the Son God the Holy Spirit, and God the Father in each part of these, this one parable given in three parts. Someone described it this way, it's like a pyramid. A pyramid has how many sides? Three sides. One pyramid, but three sides. And that's what this parable is like unto. Now, having said that, let's set the table by saying this. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Luke 15, verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees, instead of drawing near to hear him, they stood and withdrew themselves. The Pharisees and scribes, they murmured, saying, oh, this is a horrible thing. This is a terrible thing. This man receiveth sinners, and he even eats with them. Isn't that terrible? This man, who is this man? Well, we know who this man is. He's none other than the God-man mediator. Now, the Lord had just declared to this large crowd that had followed him, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And then, upon that statement, many, hearing those words, did draw near unto him, for to, I love this word, sinners came near unto him to hear him. What a miracle of God to be able to hear from God. What a blessing this is to be willing to hear him, to have a desire to hear him, to be eager to hear a word from him. Isn't that why you're here today? You didn't come here to hear me, did you? I hope you came here to hear a word from him. To be eager to hear him, to receive his word and believe on his word, to receive his gospel truth. And this word of God that we have is not the word of man. It is a word of God that effectually worketh in you that believe the gospel. I got a letter from a prisoner down in Christian County, Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Where is that? Someplace way down that way. And somehow he got my address and he wrote me a letter requesting some material. Said he loved to study the Word, and I wrote him back a letter, sent him some literature to read over, gospel literature that we put out here. And I wrote down this verse, Psalm 119, 104, and I said, the Word of the Lord is a blessing to the Lord's people. It's a lamp and a light under our pathway. And maybe the Lord be pleased to do something for him. Don't know. These things don't happen by accident, do they? They happen by purpose. I love this scripture, John 5:24. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Now get this. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. What does that mean? Got it. Got it. Hath everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The Lord said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out. He shall go into eternal life, out of death, and shall have everlasting life. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, by the power of God. Many drew near unto him, all the publicans and the sinners, to hear him. Well, isn't that great? Well, somebody in this crowd said it was a terrible thing that the Lord was doing here. Look at verse 2. And the Pharisees. Who were the Pharisees? They loved their own righteousness. They love their own self-glory, pride, and religious works. The Pharisees and the scribes were the religious lawyers of the day, students of the law, and they did nothing but murmur. They didn't draw near to hear him. All they did is murmured against him. This same crowd, as we read in John chapter 10, that picked up stones to stone him again because of not what he did, but what he said. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "Oh, this is a terrible saying. This man, how a man is this? This man receiveth sinners and he eats with them." My friend, that's the best news this sinner's ever heard. They may think that this is a terrible saying, but my friend, that's good news to me. This man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man mediator, receives unto himself sinner just like you. That gives me hope. That gives me hope for this sinner. The scribes and Pharisees complained and grumbled about these sinful publicans and sinners drawing near to the Lord Jesus Christ. This man received sinners. It was true then, it's true today. The truth of God never changes. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. They said on another occasion, remember, turn back to Luke chapter 7 for a moment. Luke chapter 7. Luke verse 33. Luke 7, 33. Remember they said before John the Baptist came eating and drinking, eating bread and drinking wine. John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine. And you say of him, well, he had the devil. Luke 7, 33. Next verse, the Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man, a wine bibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. Aren't you glad he's a friend of publicans and sinners? Aren't you glad that this man receives sinners? They said the worst thing about him, but what they said is the best news any sinner could hear. Salvation for sinners. Do you know that? Grace is for the guilty. Mercy is for the miserable. What the Lord did as a God-man mediator while He was here among men, receiving sinners unto Himself. I never read one time in the place of the Word of God, in the Word of God, where the Lord turned away a needy, mercy beggar, not one time. Everybody that came to Him seeking mercy, they found relief. Now, the Pharisees who came seeking to justify themselves, now, they were criticized. But every sinner like blind Bartimaeus who cried out for mercy, received mercy. Like that leper who came to him and said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. I will be clean. Isn't that good news? What the Lord God did as a God-man mediator among men on this earth, He is still today at the right hand of God, receiving sinners unto Himself. And not only receiving sinners unto Himself, but gladly presenting them to the Father without spot, without blame, and without any sin whatsoever. It says over here in the book of Jude, don't turn, let me just read it to you quickly. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. He not only receives us to Himself, but He presents us to the Father. Faultless before His presence. And He's not ashamed to call us brethren, is He? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not a sham. It's not a fake gospel. It's not fake news. The gospel is not fake news. The gospel is the real gospel. That's for real sinners. I'm talking about real grace for real guilt. I'm talking about salvation for sinners. Turn to another place. Turn back to Luke chapter 5 this time. The Lord Jesus called Matthew a publican, remember? to follow him, to be a disciple. In Luke chapter 5, the Lord said, verse 27, follow me. And he left all, rose up and followed him. And Levi, this is Matthew, made a great feast in his own house. And there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with them. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against the disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Boy, they just have one message, don't they? Always beating up on the Lord. And the Lord answers unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but those who are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Sinners! Does that describe you? Sinners? Ungodly? That's exactly who salvation is for. He died for the ungodly. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. Now, he spake this parable. I want to look at the first part of this threefold parable in verse 4 down through verse 7. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost, and he goes after it, and he goes after it until he finds that one lost sheep. And when he found that one lost sheep, he lifts it. It's probably stuck down in the muck, in the mire. He's covered with mud, that little dirty old lost sheep. And he finds that one lost sheep, lays it on his shoulder, lifts it out of the mud, puts it on his shoulders, his broad shoulders, his strong shoulders, his hands that are powerful hands. He lifts us. None can pluck us out of his hand. Verse 6, and when he comes home, he calls his friends and his neighbors together, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for that sheep was so smart, he found his way home. That's not the story, is it? Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep. I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than 99 just persons who need no repentance. Now, we see the Lord Jesus Christ in this first part of this parable. He's on the trail of his one lost sheep. This one lost sheep represents the whole elect of God. He said, I love the church and gave myself for it. Now, who are these 99 who need no repentance, who the Lord leads in the wilderness? There are many different ideas by many different writers who these 99 are that need no repentance. But to me, I think they represent the crowd of this religious crowd who murmured against the Lord, the self-righteous lost Pharisees and scribes who thought and said that they were not sinners, who thought and said, we need not repentance. The Lord sovereignly left them to perish in the wilderness in their sin. I believe that's who they represent. The Lord Jesus Christ is the blessed good shepherd of the sheep who laid down his life for the sheep, and he bought them with his own blood. We read in John 10, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I also must bring. Now know this, the Lord Jesus Christ bought his church with his own blood. We are his property. He said, you are no more your own. You're bought with a price. He's going to have and enjoy what he bought. He bought the church with his own blood. And he's going to take that which he has bought home to glory and enjoy us forever. I use this illustration. It's a homely illustration. You ladies who go to the store, you make out a grocery list exactly what you want. And you go to the store and you buy what's on that list and you go to the register. They check you out. Here's the price and you pay it in full, don't you? What if you just paid half of it? That wouldn't work. You have to pay all of the price. And then what do you do? Well, you take your groceries home and enjoy them. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. He chose us. He bought us. He picks us off the shelf. He puts us in the bag of His grace and takes us home to glory. That's exactly what He does. The Lord Jesus Christ is that blessed good shepherd who laid down His life for His sheep and bought them with His own blood. God committed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, being justified by His blood. The Lord Jesus Christ left the heavenly place of His eternal abode, came into the wilderness of this world to save His lost sheep. He didn't come to save anyone else but His sheep, but His elect. Look over here a couple pages to Luke 19. Luke 19. When the Lord said to another publican named Zacchaeus in Luke 19, verse 9, the Lord said to him, "This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he is also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man, that is a God-man mediator, came to seek and to save that which was lost." And He's going to save every lost sheep. And He has already done that by the shedding of His blood. Now, it's most evident that the sheep, the sinner, could not save himself, could not find his way into the sheepfold. You see, the sheep, by nature, are lost sheep, blind sheep, dead in sin. They tell me that a sheep, a lamb, is one of the dumbest creatures upon topside of God's green earth. His brain, compared to his body size, is the smallest of any creature. Dumb. And the Lord picks a dumb animal to picture how salvation must be by the grace of God. We're so dumb and so ignorant, so lost and dead, we cannot help ourselves, will not help ourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. Lost sheep. Isaiah put it this way, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all." If the good shepherd does not come and do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, we shall die in our sin, lost, dead, without God, and without hope. He doesn't come and find us, save us, and lift us, and put us on His shoulder, and put us in Christ. Peter put it this way, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed." You were healed. "For we were sheep going astray, but now return to the shepherd, capital S, bishop of our soul." Not only did the Lord Jesus Christ come and die for our sin according to the Scripture, the sin of His people, call His name Jesus, He shall save His people from their sin, but also to establish a perfect and justifying righteousness for them. God made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He died to put away our sin, but not only that, we need to have a perfect justifying righteousness before God, and we have that in Christ. We read in Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, that He came to finish transgression, to make an end of sins, and He did so by the sacrifice of Himself, to make reconciliation for iniquity. God was in Christ reconciling us unto Himself, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. Now, I must not only have redemption, I must have righteousness, and I must have regeneration too. I must be reconciled unto God. I must be made a new creature in Christ. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do for us. You see, the Lord also not only puts away our sin, makes us righteous, makes us new creatures in Christ, but He also, in doing this, grants us the precious gift of faith to trust Him. Peter put it this way, "Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, the gift of faith we have is the precious gift of God that He gives to us because Christ put away our sin and brought in everlasting righteousness for us. The gift of faith the Lord gives us is the precious gift that He gives unto us. The Lord also, along with faith, grant unto us this gift of repentance, as it's mentioned here in the text. Likewise, joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. That repenteth. In Acts chapter 5, verse 31, you see, repentance is like faith. Both faith and repentance are sovereign gifts of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. In Acts 5:31, Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be Prince and Savior, for to give repentance to His people and the forgiveness of sin. That's what is mentioned here in verse 7. Likewise, over one sinner that repenteth. Now, repentance is like faith. Repentance is not an isolated act. Repentance, like faith, is not an isolated act. It's a continual state of being. I am believing, I have believed, I am believing, and by His grace we continue believing. I have repented, I am repenting, and by His grace I will repent. And repentance is a change of mind that God works in our heart. Everything by nature we think about God is wrong. We need to be reprogrammed, rebooted, retooled, and made new. Our thinking needs to be corrected. Repentance is a change of mind about who God is. Repentance is a change of heart about how God saves sinners. And we always have this state of being, repenting, brokenhearted before God. Repentance is what happens in the lost sinner when the good shepherd finds him and lays him on his shoulder and takes him home all the way to glory. True repentance acknowledges the truth of God, like faith. The faith of God's elect acknowledges that God is God. And a true repentant heart acknowledges that God is God, that salvation is of the Lord. The Lord came to receive sinners to Himself, to pardon them freely and fully. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? The Lord came to receive sinners to Himself, to justify them freely and fully, justified freely by His grace. The Lord Jesus Christ came to receive sinners to Himself, to glorify them forever in Christ, being predestinated and conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 5 and 6. And when He found this lost sheep, He lays it on His shoulders, rejoicing. And when He comes home, He calls together His friends and neighbors and says, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Now notice who found who. The Lord wasn't lost. We were lost. And He found us. He found us dead in sin. He found us totally depraved, sinful, loving self, loving darkness, hating God. When the good shepherd went after his sheep and found them, He took them home and now rejoices forever. And we too rejoice. The friends of the shepherd, we too rejoice that salvation is of the Lord. We say with David, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." We do rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You see, we do rejoice in the great shepherd of the sheep. We read this, Hebrews 13:20, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We rejoice in the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. We rejoice in the great shepherd. We rejoice in the chief shepherd who is coming again. 1 Peter 5, when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, let's read more about the shepherd. Turn over here in closing. I want to close with this. Psalm. That psalm about the shepherd. What is that? What is that number? Psalm 23, isn't it? I knew what it was. I was just seeing. I was giving you a test. Psalm 23. This is all about the shepherd. The good shepherd, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd. Psalm 23. Everybody, whenever I've been to a funeral, usually this verse or this psalm is on the back of the funeral card. But I'm just wondering how many people really know what's being said here. I remember I preached a funeral over in, I believe it might have been Williamson, over at David, I think it was your mother's funeral. I brought a message from Psalm 23. The Lord, now notice, the Lord, L-O-R-D, capital, the Lord Jehovah is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. Now if the Lord is your shepherd, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I shall not want for rest. I rest in Him. He leadeth me beside still waters. I shall not want for anything to drink. He said, everyone that's thirsty, come unto me and drink. He restoreth my soul. I shall not want for reconciliation. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I shall not want for righteousness. He is the Lord my righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. I shall not want for comfort. You see, the Lord my shepherd. I shall not want for comfort. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I shall not want. The Lord supplies us abundantly. My cup runs over. He's plenteous in mercy. Surely, verse 6, surely this is true. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I shall not want. He found that lost sheep, laid it upon His shoulder, and He took that lost sheep all the way home to glory. When He had by Himself purged our sin, He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, where our forerunner for us has entered in and sat down, and we have already been seated in the heavenly in Christ Jesus right now.